Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 8th of June, running late and recording at 10:18 p.m. British Summer Time. Okay, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for the various different asset classes. So, starting with global stock markets, I've maintained all along that this is a secular bear market for Wall Street, defined as a generation of contracting PE ratios, or contracting valuations in general. Now, I've also maintained that the good technical, good and predictable technical medium-term bull within the secular bear that commenced in March last year is all but over bar the shouting, and that the risks would be growing as time marched on. Now, nothing's etched in granite, however, and on the bull side, what people can point to quite readily is the fact that interest rates are still reasonably low. There's plenty of liquidity sloshing around in the system, that the global economic recovery is looking increasingly synchronized, and that corporate profits have been rising. My short answer on that is that that's what's been largely discounted by the very good move that we have actually seen, and the markets are not cheap in here. And I look at some of the other negatives, every shred of historical evidence in terms of long-term market trends and post-bubble action suggests that Wall Street cannot sustain these gains and will move back down. Another factor I should have mentioned that bulls have been citing is the election year cycle in the United States, but Bush is currently behind in the polls, so that's not a positive factor here in the short term. Now, interest rates are going to go up in the U.S., and rising interest rates have killed off more global bull markets than any other factor, as you are probably well aware. I will say, though, that Greenspan has kept a lot of liquidity in the markets, partly because he wants to ensure that this global economic recovery, this U.S. economic recovery, rather, does not slow down. And also, he's got a sort of a hedge premium there in terms of excess money supply, because he's listened to John Ashcroft and at the U.S. Attorney General, and he's listened to Tom Ridge of the Homeland Security chief, and he's also listened to George Tenet before his recent retirement, and he knows that those three people are very, very concerned about another attempted attack on the United States, sort of 9/11 style. Obviously not, or one assumes, not plane hijackings, but the threat of some sort of major attack, and therefore Greenspan's being preemptive and keeping all that money sloshing around. And in my book, that extra liquidity is the best bull argument possibly going. Now, some investors may want to hang around because the market hasn't broken down. I've reduced my positions a lot, but I'm still in there, and I'm continuing to play various different instruments. But at this stage of the cycle, well, let's look at some of the lead indicators also here. The Asian leaders, Thailand and India, they're not performing well. That's really quite important. Look all around the Western markets or the Asian markets. Look at bank shares, for instance. In Japan, UFJ, way underperforming the Nikkei now, yet it led all the way up. And in the United States market, look at things like Citigroup and JP Morgan, and they're not doing that well. Look at Barclays Bank or HSBC here in the UK. And generally, banking shares are underperforming. They're a lead indicator. Generally, housing shares are underperforming. They're a lead indicator. Now, what's outperforming? And if I were to stay in the market, and I have stayed in the market to a certain extent, I would have several categories of potential and of investment, and I would not be chucking out some of the favorite emerging market funds or shares that you might have at this stage And they've had a good pullback. I suspect they'll get a further pullback in here, so one could try to be clever and to get out and then hope to buy them back lower, and you'll probably have a chance to do that. But I'm less worried about this. I think they'll go up again over the longer term. But in terms of but it is a profit erosion situation, which is why I'm hedged, albeit not asymmetrically, against it. Further decline in those areas. But what about markets where it looks like we could get further gains? First, almost anything in the energy sector. That would be at the absolute top of my list. Anything in the energy sector. And these would be the top oil companies. You can choose those on a basis of relative strength. And I mentioned yesterday in the UK, something like British Gas. I mean, that's got a very good chart pattern. I think I said I would illustrate that, and I haven't yet. I'll do that next week. And BP, British Petroleum, and that looks good. You look at Exxon in the U.S. Any of the majors, and then of course there are all sorts of speculative plays in this area as well. And then there's that Investec Global Energy Fund, which I own, which is extremely, extremely firm in here. So those are the ones that I would have. And you'll note, of course, that those are commodity related. They are highly cyclical. Those are the sectors that classically, historically, tend to perform very, very late in a bull market cycle, and often after the bull run, such as the medium-term technical bull that I described earlier, once that's over, that these sectors are still performing for a while. And if you get a lengthy ranging phase, as we've been in most of the year, they can perform very, very favorably for quite some time. The other cyclical sector that I would put in that same group, but it's much more risky in my view, would be the mining shares. And any of the mining shares, a lot of them look quite cheap relative to where they were previously, although they're not necessarily that cheap overall, as you'll probably be aware. But some of those look interesting. As a matter of fact, I went in and bought an investment trust that I had held for, oh gosh, I can't remember now, but I think I was certainly long in 2001, 2002, 2003, and I think I chucked it out in late 2003, a bit too soon, and that's the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, and I bought some of that back today because I was impressed with the action that I was seeing in some of the metals just over the last couple of days, and knocked me over with a feather, as they say. It hadn't crossed my mind that I would be buying that in here today, but I was encouraged by the action that I saw in the metals yesterday, and then we had some follow through in here today, and so a little bell went off in the memory banks, and I decided to pick that up. Okay, the third category, I mentioned the energy stocks, that would be at the very top of my list. And then I mentioned the mining stocks, and then the third category that I would only consider and hold would be high yielding and preferably defensive stocks. And I do have a few of those. So one of them is a little company that makes a little company in the UK, but they sell conveyor belts all over the world, Fenner, that I've mentioned, Fenner PLC, on a number of occasions, and still yields about 5.5%. That's the type of thing, say, that I would be willing to hold, and I would not be adding to my Fenner here at these levels, but I see no reason to get out of it. The chart action's good, and I know a few of you and people who are investing mainly in the UK will hold that as well. All right. And in terms of hedge short positions, I've increased those a little bit recently, and I may well do so again, but I'm watching the technical evidence here. And I've got enough of a hedge position so that if stock markets were to sell off quite sharply, then I would be I'd be there. I'd be represented. But I may well add to those positions a bit overall. Now, bond markets, government bond markets, and we've had this recent firming from a rather depressed level in the U.S. Treasury bond market, and I'm hoping that goes on a little bit further, because I would really like to short those again, but at a higher level. I'd like to see a little short covering in that market. I'd like to see a little short covering in the JGBs. They steadied up today, but in the last month and a half or so, they haven't been able to put together 2 days on the upside, I don't think. Don't hold me to that comment, but certainly the market's been very, very weak, as you're probably aware. And so there hasn't been any meaningful rally, certainly in well over a month in the JGBs. But again, they are oversold in the short term, and so I'd like to see that pick up. But I maintain that global bond markets are in a secular bear trend. It won't be any kind of straight line action. It'll be very much a roller coaster series of waves, and we've seen a lot of selling recently. I would expect a bit more. Over the medium term, quite possibly. And I then feel that as rising interest rates start to jeopardize the growth, and particularly if some of the inflation pressures ebb temporarily, then we might well see, against that background of weaker stock markets, we might well see the bonds steady up again. But that would be a medium term rally at best, and create another selling opportunity. And just think in terms of the overall background for government bonds. When have we ever had such a huge sale of paper? Take Japan and the United States, for instance. When have we ever seen so many government bonds issued? And yields are historically really very low, as you're also aware. So if you have to be in bonds, or if you want to have any kind of bonds, I think it's got to be dead short maturities, very, very short maturities. So effectively, you're just taking the interest rate out. And incidentally, there's nothing wrong with money in the bank. I've got a lot of my financial assets sitting there in cash. And if I want to get aggressive in the markets, I leverage up in futures, as you know. Now, moving on to the currency markets. Here we don't get these long-term, once-a-generation secular trends that I've been talking about for stock markets and equity markets. The currency trends tend to be, several years. It'd be a good trend, seldom more than seven in currency markets, but 2 to 3 years is the norm, far more often than not. And the main reason for that is because no government on earth wants a strong currency in more or less in perpetuity. And if they see a strong currency for several years, that'll begin to feel like in perpetuity for the exporters in that country. So they tend to debase the currencies. But overall, the most important story to say is that it does look as if the dollar's rally, technical rally such as it was, is pretty well over, and that the dollar will continue to ease back and test its lows against major currencies. By that I mean against the yen, against the euro, possibly against sterling. And that's pretty much the story. I don't think there are a lot of exciting opportunities in the currencies right now, but as I've said to you before, if I had anything in here, my first choice would be to be short the dollar against the yen. And I've been saying that since it got up to that chart resistance at 115. I was not saying it when it was down around 105. I was saying people were too bearish of the dollar at that stage. But I do think we'll get back down there. But we've already seen the best part of that move. We're at 108.86 in here today. Euro dollar, well, I think we're just going to get this sort of labored rise by the euro. But I don't feel as confident about that one. Why? Well, those U.S. interest rates are going to go up. And may well keep the euro dollar just range bound for for a fair amount of time here. So again, I emphasize I don't see any dramatic opportunities here right now, which the flip side of that is that I don't see any dramatic risks here at this stage. But overall, bottom line is look for the dollar to drift a bit lower against the majors. Other majors. Well, in the commodity areas, so this is the most interesting right now. The, you know, supply and elasticity has been my investment and speculative theme of the year here, and we've had some great runs in these markets, and then there was the huge shakeout as a number of hedge funds and other speculators came piling out of those markets. Sentiment has been extremely nervous in those markets recently, not surprisingly, following the shakeout. I've said that a number of them were cheap, like gold, and it was down in the 370, 380 region, and silver got down to, my goodness, around the $5.50 level, trading mostly in that sort of $6 to $5.50 region, looking cheap. I'd mentioned nickel a while back and got down nearly to 10,000, is looking very cheap. Now, some of those have really perked up recently, and for instance, now we had a good day in gold today. It closed up almost $6 at $394.85, and interestingly, it started before the euro was firming against the dollar, or before the dollar was weakening generally. And my conclusion on this is that the hedge fund crowd, in terms of looking around, where's the action, that they, like me, are not overly thrilled with opportunities in the currencies, and they're not overly thrilled with opportunities in stock market futures, and they are a bit concerned about inflation, and they're returning to some of these supply inelasticity trades, some of which have been looking quite cheap. Now, silver, which had such a good day yesterday, and it followed through again here today on the upside. For instance, July silver got up to 604.5. September silver got up to at least 606. I've got positions in both those contracts. I reached another one of my baby steps sell levels when September silver got to 605, and that's the eighth consecutive trade profit, rather. That's the eighth consecutive profit that I've taken in this baby steps operation in silver since I commenced that. I think it was on the 28th of April. I started buying back silver as it was in a free fall off the high. Started a little bit too soon, a little bit too aggressively, but I kept buying, and most of my purchases are concentrated under the $6 level. So as long as this continues to move in range near current levels, that will create opportunities for myself and any of you who are trading that on a similar baby steps basis. And also, I think people are going to start to talk about a double bottom on the chart pattern, and they'll look at the support underneath, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if silver didn't do a bit better after the last 2 days that we've seen. It really has been quite good action in here. Now, palladium, that's going to be one of the laggards. It was up a little bit here today to 230. I bought some, as you know, right around, I think it was at the 224 level, but I bought some earlier than that, just over 250, and that was not all that clever. Since you look at those charts that I posted in the Precious Metals Review, and palladium is so obviously the laggard. I mean, it's cheap in here, and I'm not worried about losing much money in it, and I'm certainly not going to chop that out at a loss. I've accumulated palladium at relatively cheap levels in the past and done quite well out of it, and there'll be plenty of opportunities there, but it's the laggard in the precious metals, and I think something like silver looks infinitely more interesting. I think gold looks more interesting, although it doesn't have as much volatility as the others. Okay, also in industrial metals. I said I might well increase my industrial metals and position, and I thought about doing that. I thought about buying the copper, but I decided to play it through shares this time, thus that Merrill Lynch World Investment Trust. But I still may increase some positions. I'm still holding the lead, which had another up day, although closing off the high a bit. That nickel lead indicator, I mean, that shot up. Remember, this was just a few, just a what, three, 4 weeks ago. It was down a little above 10,000. Well, it's gone up almost 50% to today's high. I got up to 15,400 before closing $1,000 off that level, but nearly. But it was still up 410 on the day, and firmly back in backwardation. And there, as stocks are drawn down, so this remains the most intriguing sector of the markets for me. I finally picked up some orange juices. You'll know if you've had a chance to read the website. Its great virtue is that it's awfully, awfully cheap. The big negative, though, and why I'm going to keep the position small despite it being so exceptionally cheap, is that it's got that big contango. But I'm hoping for a bear squeeze in here. Without that, I'll lose money. And I think that's pretty much it for another week. So have a splendid weekend. There's lots of sport on, and I hope your favorite teams do well. Good night.